I'll go ahead and, oh, you started the recording, good. Okay. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين إهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله إبراهيم Rasulullah Musa Rasulullah Isa Rasulullah Alayhim Allahu Akbar. So we're going to talk a little bit about Ayat al-Kursi today. And the Quran, as you know, is a series of signs of Ayat. And we've talked about before how some people believe that the Quran is a codification of the divine names because they appear so frequently and both in their revealed form, but also hidden within nouns and verbs within the Quran. So the divine names are everywhere in the Quran, as we'll see as we go through Ayat al-Kursi again today. So first, I'm going to begin with a hadith. Imam Ahmed recorded that Ubay bin Ka'b said that the Prophet asked him about the greatest ayat in the Book of Allah. And Ubay answered, Allah and his messenger know better. When the Prophet repeated his question several times, Ubay said, Ayat al-Kursi. The Prophet commented, Congratulations for having knowledge, O Abu Mundir. By he in whose hand is my soul, this ayat has a tongue and two lips with which she praises the King, Allah, next to the leg of the throne. And then there's a second ayat, a second saying, Allah has not created in the heavens nor in the earth what is more magnificent than Ayat al-Kursi, Sufyan said, because Ayat al-Kursi is the speech of Allah, and Allah's speech is greater than Allah's creation of the heavens and the earth. Al-Bukhari, who's one of the people who has recorded all of the strong hadith, recorded a similar story in his Sahih from Abu Huraira in the chapters on the virtues of the Quran and the description of the shaitan. In this narration, Abu Huraira said, Allah's messenger assigned me to keep watch over the sadaqah, the charity of Ramadan. A person snuck in and started taking handfuls of foodstuff. I caught him and said, By Allah, I will take you to Allah's messenger. He said, Release me, for I am meek and have many dependents and am in great need. I released him, and in the morning Allah's messenger asked me, What did your prisoner do yesterday, O Abu Huraira? I said, "Oh, Allah's messenger, he complained of being needy and of having many dependents. So I pitied him and let him go." Allah's messenger said, "Indeed, he told you a lie and will be coming again." I believed that he would show up again, for Allah's messenger had told me that he would return. So I watched for him. When he showed up and started stealing handfuls of foodstuff, I caught hold of him again and said, "I will definitely take you to Allah's messenger." He said, "Leave me, for I am very needy and have many dependents. I promise I will not come back again." I pitied him and let him go. In the morning, Allah's messenger asked me, "What did your prisoner do last night, O Abu Huraira?" I replied, "O Allah's messenger, he complained of his great need and of too many dependents. So I took pity on him and set him free." Allah's messenger said, "Verily, he told you a lie. He will return." I waited for him attentively for the third time. And when he came and started stealing handfuls of the foodstuff, I caught hold of him and said, "I will surely take you to Allah's messenger, as it is the third time you promised not to return. Yet you returned." He said, "Let me teach you some words which Allah will give you benefit from." I asked, "What are they?" He replied, "Whenever you go to bed, recite Ayat al-Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa hu al-hayyul qayyum, till you finish the whole verse. If you do so, Allah will appoint a guard for you who will stay with you, and no shaitan will come near you until morning." So I released him. In the morning, Allah's messenger asked, "What did your prisoner do yesterday?" I replied, "O Allah's messenger, he claimed that he would teach me some words by which Allah will grant me some benefit." So I let him go. Allah's messenger asked, "What are they?" I replied, "He said to me, whenever you go to bed, recite Ayat al-Kursi from the beginning to the end. Allahu la ilaha illa hu al-hayyul qayyum." He further said to me, "If you do so, Allah will appoint a guard for you who will stay with you, and no shaitan will come near you until morning." One of the narrators then commented that they, the companions, were very keen to do good deeds. The Prophet said, "He spoke the truth, although he is a liar. Do you know whom you were talking to these three nights, O Abu Huraira?" Abu Huraira said, "No." He said, "It was the shaitan." So I'm going to share my screen and bring up the tafsir of Ayat al-Kursi so that we can go through it and understand it a little more deeply. Ayat al-Kursi, which hopefully you've all memorized by now, is verse number 255 of Surah Baqarah, the Surah of the Cow, which is the longest surah in the Quran. And it's all one verse, although it's as long as some surahs. It's a very long ayat. And interestingly, is followed directly by the ayat that begins with, "There is no compulsion in religion." So let's go through it line by line and take a look at some of the root words and the deeper meanings of each line. So we begin with the first line, which is Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hayyul qayyum. Allah, there is no God but He, the living, the self-subsisting eternal. So if we look at the root of the word, of the name Allah, the root is A-L-H, Alif Lam Ha, and it means to serve, to worship or adore, to protect, to grant refuge, to preserve, to save, to rescue and to liberate. So first we have, of course, the name Allah, the true God, comprising all of the excellent divine names, a unity comprising all the essences of existing things, Allahu. La ilaha illa huwa is the basic tenet of our faith. And then to end this line, we have two divine names, Al-Hay, the living. And the root of this is H-Y-Y. From this root, we have some interesting meanings, actually. We have the meaning to live and to be alive. We also have the meaning to be ashamed. And if we contemplate why that might come from the same root as to live or to be alive, it's been suggested one possible interpretation is that it's to have shame for believing in your own existence before Allah. The root also means to spend the night awake, to fertilize the earth, to keep anyone alive, to have the means of subsistence, provision, to be apparent or distinct, to be tilled and made productive, which in the outward sense, of course, applies to the earth, but in the inward sense can also apply to us. To remain awake, to shrink from a thing, to forbear, to be affected with shame, shyness, bashfulness, and again, to abstain from a thing and to refuse to do it. And then the final divine name in this first verse is Al-Qayyum. Q-W-M, Kaf Wa Mim, is the root. And from this root, we have to stand still or firm, to manage, to conduct, or to order or regulate something, to maintain something, to set up something, and to keep a thing or an affair in its right state. But something you probably may not be aware of is that from the same root as Al-Qayyum comes the word Maqam, which is actually the Arabic word for station. So when we're thinking about management, conducting order or regulation, or to maintain or to set something in its right state, we're also including in that meaning the idea of the stations of the way. Now, if we look at verse 2, line 2 rather, it's all one verse. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la naum. Neither slumber overtakes him nor sleep. And the root of ta'khudhuhu is a ha, alif ha dal. To take in one's hand, to acquire something, to accept something, to affect or influence, to take captive, or to gain mastery, to slay or to destroy something, to captivate and to fascinate. And Naum has the root NWM. It means to sleep, to slumber, to become calm, to be abated, to be dull or to be numbed. So what this line is telling us that Allah is alert at all times and watching over Allah's creation, that he does not ever rest or sleep. If we take a look at the following line, Lahu ma fi samawati wa ma fil ard. To him belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth. So samawati comes from sin, mim, waw, SMW, the root, that means to be high or lofty, to be raised. It also means the word from it comes the word for name, that's ism, and also means attribute.
Oh, sorry.
Somebody's logged in two ways. Okay, thank you. So samawat comes from this root. It means height or heavens, rain or rain clouds. So samawati means heavens, but it also means rain. And ismun is, as I said, from the same root. Ismun means name or distinguishing mark. The plural is asma. So we use this frequently. When we say bismillah, we're using this word. Bismi means in the name of Allah. And when we talk about the beautiful names of Allah, we talk about the asma'ul husna, the names of beauty, the beautiful names of Allah. And then ard comes from this root, ard, means to rotate, to bring forth herbs, means a land that's abundant, fruitful, productive, luxuriant. A place for alighting or abiding, and interestingly also means submissive. So that's the word for earth. Mandaladi yashfa windahu ilabi idni. Who is there that could intercede with him except by his leave? Yashfa comes from the root sheen fa ayn. And it means to make even that which was odd, to make double, to pair things, or to protect, or to mediate, or to intercede. And indahu is equal to with him, comes from the root ayn nun dal. Ein, N-D, and it means to decline, to deviate, to be rebellious, or to transgress the bounds. But here its meaning is equal to indahu, means with him. So who is there that could intercede with him but if he gives leave? And the root for that is A Aleph, A Thal, and Nun. To give ear to listen, to be pleased, to grant leave, and it also means longing or yearning. There's another common word which you might recognize just by looking at the root, and that is the Adan. Okay. Ya'lamu ma bayna aydihim wa ma khalfahum. He knows all that lies open before men and all that is hidden from them. Ya'lamu comes from the root of alima, to know, and this is the root ayn lam mim. The divine name al-alim comes from this root. The noun ilm, knowledge, comes from this root. The root verb is alima, which means to know. And there's another root verb, alama, which means to teach. Yalamu grammatically means he knows. He knows all that lies open before men. Oh, sorry, I didn't finish all of this. From this root, alima, we have also to mark something, to sign or to distinguish, It also means creations and beings. And the word al-alam means world. So it implied in all of this is science, learning, knowledge, information and awareness, the means by which someone knows a thing. It also means world or creation, because by it the creator is known. So the plural of al-alam is alameen. We say Rabbil alameen, Lord of all the worlds. An ulama is one who is learned. This comes from the same root, who knows. Then baina aidihim means before them, in their presence, between their two hands, that which is perceivable. So in this line, he's saying Allah knows everything that's perceivable to men. And then we have wama halfahum, and all that is hidden from them. This root is ha lam fa, to follow, to come after something, to substitute or supersede, to strike from behind. It's also from this root comes the word for backbiting, which we're recommended to avoid at all costs. So in other words, speaking about somebody behind their back. To be kept back from all good, to become corrupt or altered for the worse, to turn away from, to move to and fro, and it also means that which is beyond one's ken or perception. So he's saying that Allah knows everything that the human being can perceive and all that is behind the human being's back. In other words, all that the human being cannot perceive. وَلَا يُحِتُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ إِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. Nor shall they encompass aught of his knowledge save that which he wills. In other words, all that we are capable of knowing only the knowledge that Allah wills to share with us. If we look at the word yuhituna, comes from the root HWT, which means to guard, to keep safely, to mind, to manage, to surround and encompass. So, nor shall they encompass aught of his knowledge. Bishayin means anything. Bishayin is literally the words for anything. Sha is a verb that means to will or to wish. So, nor can they encompass anything of his knowledge. Ilmihi means his knowledge. Both of these, Bisha'in and Sha, both come from the root, the same root, Shin, Ya, Aleph. So we have, nor can they encompass aught of his knowledge, and but if he wills it. Wasiya kursiyuhu samawati wal ard. His foundation is more vast than the heavens and the earth. Al-Wasi, we know, right? It's the divine name, the all-embracing. Comes from the root wa-sin ayn, means to be ample, to take in, to comprehend, to embrace, to be wide and spacious. KRS, from which kursi, the word kursi comes, means to found a building. So it's the foundation of a building or to gather something. Kursi is the chair or the footstool of the chair, actually. Or the throne or dominion or power. So it's his seat of power, his dominion and his knowledge. His foundation is more vast than the heavens and the earth. The word for throne that's used is actually arsh. So the kursi which is the word for a chair, is actually the footstool or the foundation of the throne. Walaya uduhu hiftuhuma, and he is not wearied by the presentation and preservation. The word to notice in here is hiftuhuma, comes from the root HF Dal, and from that root we have the divine name Al Hafiz, the preserver. It means to preserve, guard, or protect a thing, to prevent something from perishing, to be careful, mindful, and attentive concerning a thing, and to learn something by heart. That's why the people who learn the Quran by heart are known as Hafiz, because they're the preservers of the Quran. They remember the Quran. To defend something and to keep it from getting lost, to be observant or watchful. And then the final line is, Wahuwal Aliyul Alim, for he is the most high, the most great. These two divine names we know already. So, any questions about Ayat Kursi before we move on to the healing?
I was curious about that story that was it Abu Huraira? And I guess, why would the shaitan tell him the truth?
Well, for one thing, he didn't want to be brought before the Prophet, alayhi salatu salam. And that was the threat that Abu Huraira kept making. He'd grab him by the arm and say, I'm going to take you to the Prophet. So that would be one reason, probably the major reason. This was his way of avoiding that, because he was allowed to go again after he gave that piece of information. Don't forget that the role of the shaitan also is both from the outer to be an enemy of the human being here on earth, and to catch us by our nafs and keep us out of paradise. But don't forget, on the inner, from the spiritual perspective, the shaitan is actually providing a service both to Allah and to human beings, because he's helping bring to our attention the places in our nafs that need cleaning. And the way he does that is by catching us by those places and holding us back, causing us to be triggered, causing us to make mistakes. What he's actually doing when he speaks to us is attempting to catch us by any impurity that's in our nafs. So he's preventing anything impure from entering paradise. He's the gatekeeper of paradise. But he's also making obvious to us the places in us that need to be cleaned so that we can enter paradise. So, and when you read that chapter on Adam, the Caliph of Allah, and you also read in Music of the Soul, the first two stations of the nafs, the shaitan says to us quite clearly, do not listen to my voice. If you listen to my voice, I lead you to the fire. So it's not that the shaitan isn't clear, and it's not that the shaitan wouldn't necessarily give us a piece of helpful advice, particularly if it was in his interest to avoid being dragged in front of the Prophet, alayhi salatu salam. Because the shaitan actually can't even inhabit the same space as the image of the Prophet. It's said to us that if an image comes to you and it's an image of the Prophet, then it's real. It's not. It cannot be an illusion of the shaitan. Is that helpful?
Yes, thank you.
Any other questions or comments before we talk about the healing? Okay, so I've got a little diagram for you and an instruction. This is a diagram of the top of the head. So here's the nose. So this is the front right with the letter A, and this is the front left of the top of the head with the letter E. Left back, right back. These letters are just represent the four elements. This is earth, water, fire, and air. They're not relevant for the healing. I just put them in there because I had the information and I thought it would, you might be interested. But this is a very simple healing, but it's incredibly effective. Every time people use it, they're actually amazed at the effect that it has on their brain. So what you do is simple. It doesn't matter which quadrant you start at. I would go from right to left and then back left and then back right. So I'd start where the A is, but it's not important to do it. This is just the direction I would go in. So I would go AEWF, because you're moving in the direction of the heart when you travel in that direction. But it doesn't matter where you start or where you end. But basically you place whichever hand of yours is dominant. So right-handed people would place their right hand, left-handed people put their left hand. And you put your hand on top of one quadrant of the top of the head. And I really mean the top, not the sides, but the top. And recite Ayat al-Kursi 11 times. So you begin with the Fatiha, then put your hand on a quadrant and recite Ayat al-Kursi 11 times on that quadrant. Then you move to the next quadrant and repeat 11 times Ayat al-Kursi. So ultimately you're going to recite Ayat al-Kursi 44 times. And then when you've done that, you complete the healing by reciting the light prayer one time. Now, given the amount of time that we had, I recommend that you don't do an interview or spend any time interviewing the person. Just simply do the healing, because it's going to take you about 45 minutes at least to recite Ayat al-Kursi 44 times plus the light prayer. So it's going to be an hour and a half of healing if you travel, if you do it at normal speed. If you're a little slower, it will take you even longer. If you'd like to just do a brief interview with the person, just so that they can share with you what's up for them, and so that what's up for them is front and center in their consciousness, you're welcome to do that, but don't spend any time interviewing, because otherwise you'll run out of time to do the healing. Any questions about this before we get started with the healing?
Excuse me, Camila. So just to be clear, I think I missed that. The A represent on the right, on the left side, the front left.
No, the A is the front right. Oh, you can see the nose. Here's the front of the head and the nose. So that's front right.
Okay.
And then you go to the E, which is front left.
E is
probably
the
should
left.
Probably should have turned that head upside down now that I look at it. But
stand for the letters. I'm sorry.
Sorry? What?
Letters stand for the F A E.
The four elements. Air, earth, water, fire. But it's not relevant for the healing, really. Just so long as you do each one, each quadrant.
Is that a Sufi thing, or is that traditional Chinese medicine or some other tradition?
This would be the Greek tradition. In Chinese medicine, there are five elements.
Okay. Are we both reciting it at the same time, or we're doing one person be the healer, one the healee?
One person will be the healer and one will be the healee.
Okay.
And then you'll take a break and then you'll do it in the opposite direction. That's why I said it's going to take all afternoon, so all the rest of our class time. So that's why I'm saying don't do a long interview, make it brief.
Should we use our own hands to go on our heads when we're doing the other person, since we're not in person?
No, just put your hand energetically on their head. So just, you can do it energetically. I do it all the time when I'm doing healings and I'm doing shaitanic effect healing, which is also a healing that you haven't learned, but it's uses the three calls and Ayurakasi and the Fatiha, but you're instructed to put your hand in certain places on the person. I just put them there and you can feel it. You just visualize it. Visualize them next to you with your, it's a much very comfortable way to do a healing because you can visualize them exactly where it's comfortable for you to put your hand. And you can move them around as you do it. So just visualize the person, put your hand on the quadrant, and then move your hand. Then you can actually move the visualization and put the next quadrant of their crown under your hand. Now, trying to do it on yourself would be very tiring and uncomfortable trying to put it on your own head, because 44 minutes, as you'll find out, is quite a long time to be reciting. You'll all know Ayat al-Kursi well, if you don't already, by the time you finish it. Any other questions about it?
You've said, Salaamu Alaikum, Kamila. You've said to keep the interviews sort of fairly brief. So what might the interview sort of go like, you know, kind of what do you want to discuss? I want to talk about such and such. Okay.
Yeah. I would just enough information. I mean, you don't really need the information at all, quite honestly, because this is a treatment specifically for the brain. So the questioning is just to bring it up for the person, for them to answer your, you know, what's really up for you today? What would you like help with? And if you think about it, Ayodhya is a healing that's designed to ward off the shaitan and to clear away darkness and to be protective. So it's obvious why we're doing this as a healing for the brain, right? Because the brain is where the nafs hangs out, the mind, and it's the doorway for the shaitan. So what you're doing is trying to clear any shaitanic energy, any darkness from the brain that's built up from the shaitan and the nafs collaborating there. Okay, so it's enough just to say, you know, what's up for you today? What would you like to work on? What's been bothering you? And somebody will say what that is. And as long as you feel like they're in touch with it in their being, then you just go ahead and start the healing. Because it's more about getting the client in touch with it, not so much the healer, because you know exactly what you're going to do anyway.
Okay, thank you.
Where's the light prayer?
What do you mean, where's the light prayer?
The it says to recite the light prayer one time.
Yes, I gave it to you in your handouts. And you'll need to...
I wasn't able to print those.
Bring it up on your screen, because you're not going to be able to... If I put it up here on my shared screen, when you go into your breakout rooms, you're not going to see my screen. So bring it up on your own screen somewhere and just read it from the screen.
It's also in the Unity Healing if you have that printed out.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, it's in the Unity Healing. Any other questions? Everybody quite clear about how to do this?
I have a question. Since the Ayat al-Kursi is a Quranic ayah, does it matter if you have wudu or if you're menstruating?
Not if you know it by heart. If you're reciting it from heart, by heart, you're allowed to do it. when you're menstruating.
So we're reciting Ayatul Kursi, sort of the four areas on the head, but yeah. The light prayer, do we do before we start, so without hand anywhere?
No, you do it at the end. So oh. What you're doing is, if you see the instructions above the screen, it says place your, gives you the instructions for Ayatul Kursi, and then it says then recite the light prayer one time. So that's to finish it, to close it. So essentially the reason for that is because you've recited Ayatul Kursi 44 times with the purpose of clearing out all darkness, clearing away shaitanic energy. So you don't want to leave space there for it to come back. So what you're doing is filling that space with light, with the light prayer, so that there's not room for that darkness to creep back in the minute you go, you finish the healing.
Inshallah.
Inshallah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And you don't have to put your hand on the head or anything. You just recite the light prayer, sending that light to them, to your client.
Okay.
Can you show that again, like how you go like the front of the head and the back? Can you show that again? Like how you go, like you're from the right side, the front, and the, how?
Yeah, you just in the travel in the direction of the heart. So wherever you start, you're going. So I suggest just start where the A is, the right front. Then you go to the left front. Then you go to the left back. Then you go to the right back. So you're doing a circle.
Okay.
And even that's not critical. None of this is critical. What's critical is that you put your hand on all four quadrants and you recite Ayatul Kursi 11 times on each quadrant. So it's pretty simple. You don't have to worry too much. There's no magic about where you start or what order you do it in, but I just like to always travel in that direction of the heart to the left. Towards the left.
Is there any like particular instance in where you would want to do this healing as opposed to any of the other healings we've learned?
Yeah, you might want to do it, for example, for somebody who suffers from epilepsy. Anything where you think there might be shaitanic harm that's impacting the brain. But you'll find, I think, most people experience this when they're receiving it, that it really makes your brain feel different afterwards. It really changes the way your mind feels, your brain feels. Somebody whose mind is foggy, for example, somebody who's had traumatic injury to the brain by falling or receiving injury some way, I would say myself, I would think about using this for anybody who's had trauma to the brain, anybody who's complaining about their memory or fogginess of the brain, that they have trouble thinking. I would be tempted to use this in all those instances.
What about ADHD or ADD?
Anything where you think there could be shaitanic energy involved that's impacting the brain. Any other questions before we begin?
Just one question. When we recite the Ayatul Kursi with the Bismillah Rahman Rahim, do we, when we go to the second one, do we say the Bismillah Rahman Rahim, or we just go from the Allahu La Ilaha
Illallah? You don't need to say Bismillah Rahman Rahim every time. Start the healing with the Fatiha. And then you can do it either way, whichever feels better to you. Bismillah Rahman Rahim is the only surah that Bismillah Rahman Rahim is a part of. The surah itself is the Fatiha. So every other surah that you're saying Bismillah Rahman Rahim, you're saying it before you begin the surah. and you're basically saying it for that reason in the name of Allah. And then you recite the surah. So you can do it once at the beginning and then do all 44, or you can do it before each time you do ayat or kursi, whatever, whichever you prefer. Any other questions? Okay, so this is how we're going to do this. This will be the first time you guys have used breakout sessions. we've got, let's see, it's 8 minutes to here. So it's 8 minutes to four on the East Coast. We're due to finish at 6:30 on the East Coast, and we're due to finish at 3:30 on the West Coast. So I would say we're going to come back together in the main classroom at, let's come back 20 minutes before the end of the day. So that would be 6:10 on the East Coast, and it would be 3:10 on the West Coast. And between now and then, Rahim is going to put you into breakout rooms, and I'll leave it up to you guys to organize it yourselves. But you do what I suggest you do is one person does the first healing, then you take a break, 30-minute break or however long you want it to be, and then you come back together and stay in your breakout room. Just take a break, then come back together and do the second half of the healing, do the reverse. And then just schedule it so that you're going to be finished by 10 minutes, 20 minutes before the end of class when we'll all come back. You'll be able to click on a button in your breakout room that says return to the main room. So you can do that at 20 minutes before the end of class. So I will be bouncing in and out of breakout rooms just to check in on you and see how you're doing. If my last experience was any guide, Rahima, once you've put me in a breakout room, I can go from room to room. So I think all you need to do is put me into one and I should be okay. And I'll just travel around and check in on people, see how they're doing.
Camilla, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I thought you'd finish.
That's okay.
Just a heads up, because your all those timings equals 10 past 11 at night over here. And so I tend to kind of start flagging myself at around about 10:30 or so. So just in case we get through, then is it okay if we kind of touch base about this healing tomorrow, because you're teaching us again tomorrow. Will that be all right?
Yeah, that's fine. If you and Zainab, I meant to say that, I know it's late for you and Zainab, so if you guys want to do the healing on your own time, you know, feel free to do it another time.
I'm sure we'll do it, inshallah, but we might kind of, you know, I'm in my fourth decade and all that, so sleep.
Oh, you poor old thing, you. I'm in my seventh decade, so there. But it won't be 11. At 11:20 at night, I'd be at 10 at night, I'd be pretty tired too. So I won't hold it against you.
No, thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Okay. Any last minute questions, comments before we start getting put into the breakout rooms?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. So Majid, do you need me to pair up with you, or you're going to do the healing with Zainab later?
So Zainab's still with Sumaya. Hang on a second. Let me just check. Just give me 30 seconds. Okay, alhamdulillah, it's actually looking quite good. I think Sumaya has gone to sleep, so Zainab and I will pair up.
Perfect.
Inshallah.
So, Kamala, do you want me to start the break rooms?
Yes, just start putting everybody into the breakout rooms.
So I think you just have to accept. So, Layla, you just need to accept doing the room. I said it to your other divine, beloved Layla, because you're the other divine who's the one that was heard of. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Okay, got it. Thanks.
So, Layla, I'm not sure why I can't move you to trying to assign you a room, but can you, your other device was the one that I had set up. Can you use that device? Because for some reason, your iPhone doesn't let me pair you up.
Okay. I'll if you wait just a second, I'll get my iPad out, okay?
Okay, perfect. Thank
Assalamualaikum Rahima, y'all in Dyad.
Hey, Assalamualaikum Rahma. We are, I couldn't hear your question.
You want to pause the recording? I can't hear you. I have you muted. Hold on. Do you want to pause
the everyone? So, just wanted to check in and see how you did with the healing. I was popping in and out of classes, the classrooms. You may not have noticed because I had myself muted, but I was sort of going from breakout room to breakout room, and you all seem to be doing great. So I just wanted to check in and see if there are any questions and if anyone would like to share what that healing was like to receive.
Myself, I think I'm looking forward to going out and walking on earth without my shoes on, because I feel like I got a huge systemic healing. I could feel like my right channel opened, my left channel, and my central, and it just really felt like a deep clearing and washing, and but I'm ready to get off the computer soon and get up and be around trees and such. But it was very, very powerful and humbling, the power of these prayers.
I'm doing that.
Yeah, thank you.
Anyone else?
This is Rahma.
Hi, Rahma.
I was partnered with Tahara, and it was really nice to receive. We were joking afterwards, and I was saying it was like sunbathing. It felt like just being like sunbathing in the light or something. It was really, really nice. Yeah.
Anybody have any? Sorry, is somebody going to speak? Mm-hmm. Oh, look at that cute dog.
Oh, yes, he's like, pet me, mommy, pet me.
Anyone else want to share anything? Okay, well, if there are no questions and people have finished sharing, I think we might as well, we can go ahead and end for the day. It's going to be a long week for you being on the computer all this time, I know. So try to give you mercy wherever I can. But yeah, you're welcome.
It's a beautiful
Tomorrow morning, you're going to have Amina's data chan all the way from Turkey. So she'll be with you in the morning, and then I'll be with you again in the afternoon. We're going to be looking at Rahma, mercy in the Quran. Mm. So we'll be looking at a lot of the ayat in the Quran that relate to mercy, and I'll get some rest until tomorrow. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. Assalamu alaikum everyone, have a good
night.
Assalamu alaikum.